Welcome to another episode of the Bees and Honey podcast. It's been a few weeks since you last heard from me, but I've been busy working out a financial situation, which I'll share with you today. It involves some men at the highest echelons of the art world, as well as some low-level dealers and what they would describe as middlemen, or in this case, middle women. This is a story about how men in the art world work without honor, much less compassion, and would carelessly crush the smaller people under them. Literally stealing the bread out of your child's mouth is how I like to put it. To put it in their own mouths. And this is a story in defense of middle women who do so much work in the art world, almost like midwives, giving birth to relationships, to deals, nurturing artists up the ladder, feeding ideas to their men. And these women, midwives, middle women, get no thanks for it. I hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome back to another episode of the Bees and Honey podcast. So today is a very personal episode because for the last 2 weeks, I basically had my head wrapped around how I could resolve a certain issue that came up with some partners of mine and a painting that we helped procure for one of my old friends who it became clear after we started these negotiations that he had had the painting at some point in the past in an exhibition. Either way, I'm not gonna go deep into the topic today, but needless to say, it's something that comes across in the art world very often. This idea that people bring people together, that people introduce each other, that people help each other to move forward. And at some point, there is an exchange of energy. There's an exchange of contacts. There's an exchange of information. And if it's not clear that some compensation should be gotten from that introduction, then it's a little bit of a disappointment, let's say, to certain parties when the other people go off and build their career or make a ton of money on that connection, which then leaves you behind in the dust. I mean, personally speaking, I know of at least two or three incidents in my life for myself, as well as with other people, where they helped artists along the path to success by introducing them to grants or to residencies or to collectors who would buy their work. And these artists went on to sell a lot and became so hot and in so big of a demand that eventually the people who were there for them when they started out were no longer relevant or were no longer appreciated. I mean, even to the point where the collector or the advisor would call the artist or email and would get no reply. At this point, they were, I guess, too big to answer or just didn't want to be bothered in their studio where, you know, they had to focus on putting their work on canvas or whatever they were working on to keep the production going now that they were in demand. I mean, another example for myself happened a few years back where a big painting, a Van Gogh painting, came available and someone asked me to find something for them. And when I did, they said to me, well, yes, as the middleman, how much do you expect to make from this sale? And I thought to myself, the middleman? I mean, the sale wouldn't be happening if I hadn't found the painting. So it's not like I'm a middleman anymore. At some point, people have to acknowledge that everyone's contribution to a deal is valuable. I mean, if one person disappears from the sale, let's say it was me with the painting, then what would they have to offer their collector? I mean, they would have nothing. So there's no middle person anymore. There's a partner. It made me think as well about instances throughout history where women especially have been forgotten or were trodden under the feet of men, in particular artists like Camille Claudel, who suffered a mental breakdown and eventually died, I think, in an asylum. She was a great artist, and she worked with the great artist, and everyone knows the great artist's name. People still are discovering her work and the value of her work and the inspiration that she gave to that artist. And I mean, there are many historical references that I could bring up to support this idea. But again, I'm going to keep this personal, primarily because I don't want to tarnish anybody else's name or bring anyone into the picture who may not appreciate their name being publicly spoken about. So a few years back, there was a gallerist who I knew, and he was opening a gallery pretty much in what I called the seat of Western art history roots in Greece. And this was a pleasant, friendly exchange, just discussing things like art history. And I said, wow, it's just amazing that you are now coming all the way from the West into the seat of the Western art world. And I thought it was a funny thing to say, but it was true in some ways. And people who were at that dinner for the inauguration of the gallery said, my God, he made this amazing speech about how his roots were so far away from Athens, but here he was back at the beginning of the roots of Western art history. And I mean, I could only laugh because, you know, at the time they didn't make a big deal, but some people are always taking notes, or let's say they're smart enough to know when they hear something smart, and then they write it down, and next thing you know, it's their idea. Again, I suppose the concept of intellectual property, or the idea that you should be rewarded for anything you come up with in terms of building stuff in the art world, is not that important in this age of collaboration and dissemination of information. But to give you another example, let's say this artist has an idea and he gives it to an artist to execute this idea, and he pays him some money to get this idea. Whose idea was it? Was it the person who actually executed the idea that he was paid to do by the person who had the idea? Or does it belong to the person with the idea? I mean, you know, at this point it starts getting into legalities and copyright issues and stuff like that. But it's pretty much the same thing if you ask me. When you go into a deal with people, if you haven't decided or made it clear in a contract, in some form of writing, that you would like this percentage of a certain sale, then you're pretty much leaving yourself open to receive anything that they decide they would like to pay you. And working with friends, you know, again, that can be a little bit of a rocky road. For me, working with people, especially in the art world, has always been about, and probably will always be about, trust. Who I'm working with, I trust on one level or another. And that trust circle is very small. Sometimes other people, like someone I was collaborating with who I trust, brought in another element or elements, as the case may be. And these people I didn't know, and from what I did know about them, I wasn't really impressed to get to know them any better. And it's these elements that made things a bit more complicated and pretty much caused the deterioration of the whole sale, which prompted me to then decide to make this episode about how people work in the art world. And the fact that at the end of the day, if there's no trust between you, all bets are off. Even when there is trust between you, I mean, I know from a colleague in the art world, and I would call him a friend, that sometimes you have a long-term friendship with someone and you still can't rely on that to protect you when there's a large sum of money on the table. I mean, I don't think money is the basis of all evil or any of that crap. But I do think that people will do what they do without conscience and without any remorse in order to get whatever money they think they deserve. And I suppose on some level that has to do with a woman's place in the art world as well. Like, how willing is she to assert herself to get paid what she deserves? And I had a hard time coming to terms with how to present this topic, because on the one level, I thought I need to be faithful to myself and my idea of how this should be going and what I feel compelled to say or do about this situation and share about this situation for myself as well as for others. But I was also on the other side conscious of the fact that it would hurt some people who were close to me and who trusted me, as well as the other people who I felt were screwing me over in this situation. And those were the people that I really wanted to get at and expose and just, you know, make everyone aware of. But even if people are aware of the shortcomings of, let's say, some of these art world charlatans, there's really no other word for them but charlatans. I mean, these guys who go around pretending they know about art and selling art, and most of them are wearing suits. If there's one way you want to know a guy who's up to no good, he's probably going to be wearing a suit, in my opinion. I mean, these guys who, at the end of the day, they're interested in money. Money is not art. You know, when I started this podcast, it was at that time in the Western art world where everything in the news was about how much something cost. And again, that is valuable. That's how we all exist. That's how I've lived for the last few years on these various sales that I've helped facilitate. But it's not all about that. And it's certainly not all about, you know, stealing something from someone else. Whether or not you made a formal agreement is irrelevant to the fact that as a human being, you honor the contribution of another human being by being fair. It's a long and a convoluted topic, and I'm so happy if you listened this far that you even were interested in finding out my point of view about these things. But I think at the end of the day, what I'm trying to get across is that in terms of the art world, there's a lot of good between people. There's a lot of support in networks, and everyone should, on some level, no matter how high they get in the art world or how far along they get, always still carry themselves with some level of gratitude. Not to use that overused word, but gratitude and kindness. And also, I mean, whatever happened to being gentlemen? They don't exist. I'm living in New York. I've realized over the last few years that it's very hard to find a gentleman. I mean, like, did they all pass away, or did mothers stop teaching their sons how to be gentlemen? I mean, I'm sure women on some level too have lost the art of being feminine. For myself, just growing up in America, growing up in New York, where you have to just fight every day for every little bit that you get, or else you get nothing. Perhaps we lose that femininity or that ability to ask for and to receive. I mean, I, as you can see, I'm not one to take things lying down, but on one level, you really have to think, well, okay, as a community, as people, as artists and creators and facilitators of what I consider to be the divine, how can we work together and support each other without all of this backstabbing, to find you know, the most basic word, without all of this constant litigation? And I mean, you know, it's the nastiest part of the art world, if you ask me, this inability to work together harmoniously when it comes to things like closing sales and large sums of money. I mean, you understand then why some people keep their circles very small and don't allow others in, because again, who can we trust? And how do we know we can trust them? So anyways, thanks for being my art therapist for today. I hope you enjoyed listening into the inner workings of my life. I mean, besides all the stuff you see or hear on the podcast, I do have some other things going on, and from time to time they can be lucrative, but other times they're just frustrating. And this time we'll see what happens. I'm still looking forward to the resolution of this issue, but luckily I have some strong people on my team, and it should all work out very well. And I hope to see you soon on the other side of this. Take care, have a good day, and keep enjoying art. Thanks for joining us for this episode. It was a little bit unorthodox, but I really needed to get that off of my chest. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed making it. I'll see you soon again on another episode of the Bees and Honey podcast.